Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ video ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording. This week's message is titled, How Long, O Lord? Thank you to Ed, Don, Amy, and Robin for being part of this service. The scripture reading is Psalm 13, verses 1 to 6. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me.
I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you all to the service of the Beamsville Church of Christ this morning. Well, praise God. Great song. And it's already been a good morning for me because Rhonda and I spent 2 hours on a Zoom call with Max and Prisca Donner in France this morning. We were out walking yesterday and I said, you know, we need to make contact with them. And so we've contacted them and we were able to have a great visit with them this morning. And we realized when the call was over how much we needed that, and hopefully that they needed it as well. So welcome to our time together, gathering today in this place. We have a couple of announcements to start with. A happy birthday to Kathy and to Joanne. And Helene and Happy and Christina have arrived, and they're at Jeff and Jan's house in the basement. And we've had some contact with them via Facebook this week and phone calls, trying to get some things sorted out for them, trying to get them a doctor and a dentist and make some appointments for them in the community. And they're going to be in isolation again for, I think, another week, and then they'll be out and about and we'll be able to meet them at social distancing events. Now we continue to be concerned for Gloria. She had surgery recently and is convalescing at home. And Mike has moved home and is doing pretty well. He can receive phone calls. I talked to him a couple of times this past week. He's anxious for connection. So if you have time to contact him by phone, he would greatly appreciate it. And Marion, also another person of concern, was having radiation treatment starting on April 26th. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful to you for the blessings of this day. We're thankful for the ways in which we can communicate with each other, even in these times where we're somewhat restricted in our movement. We're thankful for people far and near who can bring encouragement to us. And we pray, Father, that we can be an encouragement for those in our areas of connection. We're thankful for this time that we can be together today to worship you, give honor and glory to you, and also to reach out to each other. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We welcome everyone, wherever you are, in this world today, April 25th, we hope that you are well, and we're very, very grateful that we have the opportunity to share this message to people throughout the world. In our church building this morning, we just watched a video that some of you may recall over the years, written by Paul McCartney and John Lennon. It's called Eleanor Rigby. It's a haunting song because of loneliness. And it's a beautiful picture of a church where no one attends. The minister works in the church by himself, but basically no one shows up except for Eleanor Rigby, who will come to the church after a wedding or after a funeral and clean up. But there's loneliness there for both Father McKenzie and Eleanor Rigby. One of the things that I've noticed over the last while with our pandemic still raging throughout the world, is a sense of loneliness. And keeping 6 feet apart sometimes makes it difficult to converse with people. But you may have found that when you come across someone that you haven't seen for a while, or maybe someone walking down the street whom you don't know, that they're eager to engage in conversation. Even if one person is standing on the sidewalk and another person is 6 feet away or standing on the lawn, just sharing with one another. Loneliness is not just because of the pandemic. Loneliness is part of our lives in many ways, and maybe you can recall times in your life when you have felt this heavy burden, this weight of loneliness upon you. I want to read the song one more time called Eleanor Rigby. It was written basically by Paul McCartney, and then John Lennon added a few words to it at all. It's a haunting picture. It begins by saying, "All, look at all the lonely people." Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been. She lives in a dream. She waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they belong? Father McKenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear, no one comes near, look at him working, darning his socks in the night, when there's nobody there, what does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name, but nobody came. Father McKenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave, no one was saved. All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? But I have good news today to remind ourselves of what Jesus promised us. I am with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So in your loneliness, when that happens on occasion, remember you are never alone. His arms are always around us. Echoing throughout the ages are the words of this little-known prophet Habakkuk, where he says these things. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? That's the way he feels. His complaints, when you read the book of Habakkuk, are many. But toward the end of his book, he laments. He asks for forgiveness. He says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He's calling out to the Lord. He sometimes feels so lonely and wonders, are you there, God? And then he reminds himself, of course he's there. He is with me. He is my Lord. He is my strength. And just like us, Habakkuk had good days and bad days as he waited for the peace that he so desired to rest upon him. But no matter what happens to him, he's not alone. God is always with him. And so many people today, and I hear this often, are waiting for, and here's the word, normal to return. Normalcy. And having a discussion with a gentleman the other day, I said, well, how normal has your life been over all of these years? And he looked back and we had a long conversation about, well, really, every day isn't the same. Every day is a little different, but we get into our routines and it becomes rather normal. And all of a sudden, we become married to the normalcy so that when something difficult or different comes along, it really throws us off track. But it's this reminder where God promises, even when you're off track, I am with you. I will always be with you. Chatting with a person the other day, I hadn't heard this word in a long time. This person said, how I feel more than anything else is this, discombobulated. I hadn't heard that word for a long, long time. I'm not exactly sure what it means, but I think it's a great word. I'm just kind of off. It's just not normal. My thinking sometimes gets me in the wrong direction. I sometimes forget that I can't go in that store without this mask, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And I'm thinking about these things. I just feel discombobulated. I can't go through life normally. You stop and think about it, that's been the way of life for many people throughout the world. People who lived in far-off places where illness is rampant in many, many places and many, many times. We've been so fortunate in North America, even though there have been difficult times in our lives, emotionally, intellectually. People right now are struggling with thinking straight in their own minds. And so some ask, how long must we wait for this to be over? Now, the question has been asked throughout the ages, not just because of the pandemic. There was a time in North America that many of us remember very, very well, where many people, especially in the United States, wondered, what in the world is happening to us? The assassination of John F. Kennedy, the assassination of his brother, Bobby Kennedy, the assassination of Martin Luther King. And there was this horror of, why are we killing people who want to bring peace and love and joy to the world? And there was this discombobulation, this what in the world is happening to us in this world? The question has been asked many times. World War I and World War II, sending loved ones off into war, some never, ever returning, and life never being the same for many, many people. The Spanish flu, some 70 million people die. In World War I and World War II, millions and millions of people have died, and there's a calling out for how long, O Lord, how long? And even prophets of God said, God, where are you? How long will this be? I came across not really a poem, but a brief statement called Covered/Waiting. And it's unique. Let me read it to you. Covered. Waiting. The time today is not yet. Even if asking with tears, with pleadings, and with groans of horror, sadness, weakness of will, and my body easily defeats me. I am almost lost in this time of waiting. Turn my eyes and my heart to you, Lord Jesus. Be always in my heart. Make my eyes only your eyes. Help me to wait as your hand still covers me. There are 150 psalms in the book of Psalms, and many of them, some people suggested around 60%, are what are called lament psalms. Just kind of what I've been talking about for the last few minutes. This great lament, this great calling out to God. And of course, there's an entire book in the Old Testament called Lamentations. But there's a warning in reading the book of Lamentations. It is not an easy book to read. In fact, it is a devastating book. It is a horrible book. It is appropriately named Lament, Lamentations. It is a full venting of how long must we wait? Lamentations 5:21, restore to us yourself, O Lord, that we may return and renew our days of old. There was this disconnect, but certainly God never disconnected from his people. There was sometimes some silence, and there was sometimes this waiting to hear from God because God was waiting for them to call to him. He's always been pouring out his love into our hearts through Jesus Christ. Paul and John reiterate those words many, many times in the New Testament. This wonderful call of God's love, his goodness, his patience, his kindness, all pouring out into our lives that we have even in difficult times. But sometimes it's hard to grab those things when you're feeling a bit discombobulated. And yet the promise is always there. And it's been there for centuries. In the Psalms, there are so many beautiful Psalms. Here is this lament psalm that's also a beautiful psalm. It's not an often read psalm, Psalm 13. Let me read this to you. And here is this person calling out to God. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. And I guess the question for each one of us is, how has God been good to you? Could you list how many times God has been good to you? And once you finish filling 100 pages, you can start writing the next 100 pages. That's how good God has been to us. Always with us. Always with us. Waiting, it's not easy. Even Jesus commented in Matthew 17, he asked the question, how long shall I stay with you? How long will I put up with you? He was feeling exasperated too. But then, of course, he pours out his full love into our hearts every day. Waiting is not always easy. And then, of course, there's a whole book in the Bible called Job. Again, not the easiest book to read. But if there was ever an example of waiting for life to return to normalcy, it would be Job. But Job knew it would never be normal. What he had to go through was horrendous. But in the end, God restores Job in a beautiful way. And even in his pain and sorrow and loneliness, and his friends come along and say to lash out to God, Job would not. Job somehow, even in his pain, continued to reach up to God. And there was this long dialogue all throughout these chapters of Job. Job not relenting. Job not turning away from God. Job asking. Job pouring out his life into the hands of God. And of course, God was with him every step of the way. And toward the end, everything was renewed and there was great rejoicing. Physically, emotionally, in every way, Satan took hold of him, but he would not give up on God. And here's what he said. I know that you can do all things, O Lord. No plans of yours can be thwarted. And I'd like to suggest that that's true for us today. I know, O God, that you can do all things, and no plans of yours can ever be thwarted. Job was hurting physically. He was hurting emotionally, intellectually. His dreams were wild. His nightmares were horrible. But he would not rely on anyone or anything other than God. Psalm 13 was a lament, but Psalm 24 is a victory. Psalm 24 is this beautiful passage that I'd like to read to you. Psalm 24. Here's what it says. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So if you're hearing this message today and you're in the Caribbean or you're in Australia or you're in Russia or you're in the far north of Canada, wherever you are, this is a passage of scripture that was written thousands of years ago, but it is so important for us today. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him. And I love this. Who seek your face, O God of Jacob. If you're a fan of Christian music, know that what we just read is repeated very often in many, many, many hymns. It is a beautiful passage. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. One day, we will look into our God's eyes. He already sees us. We can wait. We can wait until God says it is time. And for our loved ones who have passed, who see the eyes of God, we too will see the eyes of God. So he says, lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And this is not just some kind of physical building. Open up the doors to the temple so that God can come in. It's opening up the doors of our heart, opening up the doors of our mind, opening up the doors of our emotions, welcoming the Lord God to come into us. The King of glory, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The answer is the Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. If there's a choir in heaven, they're singing this song. One day we'll hear that music and we'll see him face to face. Psalm 24 is this beautiful psalm, allowing the King of glory to reside in our heart. Okay, so I'm going to wrap up here with words that are not mine, that are profound, and yet that one day every one of us will experience. Lonely people is normal right now for so many people. But these words is a promise for all of us, and that one day we will experience. Because then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, gone. Then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with people, and he will live with them. It's not us going there, it's him coming here. He will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And he'll wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning, crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said these words. Even if the pandemic is getting you down, even if sad thoughts seem to be overwhelming, even in your loneliness, here's what he says. I am making all things new. That's a promise from God to us. And how many promises does God keep? Everyone. I am making all things new. Can we wait? Absolutely. And during our time of waiting, can we reach out to others who are hurting, encouraging them, reminding them that God is always with them, because we know he's always with us. Can we wait for God? He certainly has waited on us on occasion in our life, reminding us, I am always with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Thank you, God, that no matter what is happening in our life, you love us, you give us Jesus, you give us your Holy Spirit, and because of that, even in difficult times, we can stay close to you. Amen.
Okay, good morning, everyone. I have brought a guest with me to help this morning, and this is totally unrehearsed, so we're going to see how well this goes. Robin, you're on the microphone there.
Ow.
And you can take your mask off now. Yay, that's exciting. Okay, Robin, can you tell everybody what we did yesterday?
We went for a hike.
And what did we see on that hike that was super cool?
We saw a big tree with a lot of rocks stuck in its roots.
We saw a big tree with a lot of rocks stuck in its roots. And was this big tree still alive or was it dead?
It was dead. And it was covered in sawdust.
It was covered in sawdust. So its bark was all gone and it had sawdust instead of bark.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me more about these rocks and the roots. Were they little rocks or were they huge rocks?
They were huge rocks.
They were huge rocks. So when this tree fell down, what do you think happened?
I bet that the roots grabbed the rocks.
They grabbed the rocks and they pulled the rocks up with it?
Mm-hmm.
And was the tree, like, were the roots and the rocks taller than you even?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were they taller than me? Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know. I didn't really stand side by side with them to measure that. Do you remember what you said that started with, "I'm surprised"? You can't remember. You said, "I'm surprised that that tree was rooted in the rock." And that sentence really surprised me and got me thinking. Do you know why?
Why?
Because do you know who the rock is used as a special name for? Jesus. And that sentence, "I'm surprised that that tree was rooted in the rock," got me really thinking about me and my life. And that poor tree had lost its bark and only had sawdust left. And it had lost all of its branches years ago.
I got a splinter bud.
You got a splinter bud. And it had no leaves and it had no branches and it was stripped down. But we could still say that tree was rooted in the rock. And I wonder if that can be said about my life. I wonder if when I am stripped down, when my bark is gone, when my branches are gone, when all of the things that I use to sustain my life are gone, will I still be irrefutably rooted in the rock? I hope so. I really do. The other thing that it got me thinking about was in its death, that tree's true nature, its true rooting was exposed. Because before it died, that was all hidden and buried away, and nobody knew for sure. And that got me thinking about Jesus, because even in Jesus's life, he was thought of as a good teacher, and maybe a rebel leader, and a healer. But he was not, like, even the people very closest to him, even his disciples who saw all the miracles and saw it all, ran away at the end. But in his death, everything was totally revealed. I'm going to read a passage from Matthew 27. "From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?' Then some of those standing there heard this. They said, 'He's calling Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, 'Now let's leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.' And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice and gave up his spirit, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, 'Surely he was the Son of God.'" In that tree's death, it was irrefutable that it was rooted in the rock. And in Jesus' death, it was irrefutable that he was rooted in God. Even the people closest to him before that weren't totally, totally sure. But at that moment, strangers who were against him said, "Oh yeah, this was the Son of God. This is God revealed to us." And I think that is a very cool takeaway from a hike. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for your nature. We thank you for things that you put in place and examples that you show us that don't reveal themselves for hundreds and hundreds of years. God, we ask that you root us deeply in you. And we praise you for Jesus, and we praise you for who he was, and the life that he lived and the death that he died, and all that was revealed about you and him and your character through that moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
During the Black Death in Europe in 1347. This plague claimed 200 million people over a four-year period, wiping out about 25% of the population of the world. Well, there's a song that's lingered from that time, and all of you have sung it. Ring around the rosies, pocket full of posies, husha, husha, they all fall down. And then you get up and you sing it again. But it harkens back to a time when ring around the rosy, they thought that they carried flowers with them, natural things with them, that would give them some immunity. And when husha, husha, they all fall down, they all fall down dead. Well, you know, during these times, these situations, there are always stories of heroics. I remember one of my spiritual mentors, a person that I looked up to and respected a great deal, Oliver Tallman. At his funeral, Ray Conkle mentioned that he remembers Oliver Tallman at the Waves Kitchen at the fair. And I'm looking around and see what's going on there and here. The citizen of the century was cleaning toilets. So he was taking care of people's needs. And he took care of the dead in this area for many, many decades. Well, it's not a fluke. Because Oliver Tallman's father, when they lived in Jordan during the Spanish flu plague of the 1918, he would regularly go from farm to farm, from house to house, to check up on people. Often he would find, and as he went about his business, he would find people, the parents had died, and there were children in the house unattended, and he would make sure that they got taken care of. Or he would find that there was nobody left to look after the animals, and he made sure that he would look after the animals. So he'd go door to door, and he never got the flu. But he took care of the dead, and he took care of the living, and he took care of the animals. And there are all kinds of signs like this, and even in our pandemic. We're really thankful for Al and Julie looking after Mike for a couple of weeks and making sure that he was going to be okay. So my admonition to us today is, as we go into this week, can we be those forces of change, forces of goodness, forces of helping those who need the help that they need? Hopefully we can. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you for the example of your Son who left heaven and came down here where there's a real mess, lived amongst us, taught us about you, showed us an example of how to take care of people in need. We're thankful for this great example, and especially we're thankful that he saved us, that he made it possible that we could know you and that we could be with you eternally forever. We pray, Father, that we might find occasions this week to be your people, your hands, your feet, your words of encouragement. We pray, Father, that as we think about this week coming up, that you might bless Marion and her chemotherapy treatments, that you might bless Gloria as she recovers from surgery, and that you might bless Mike as his sight, that his sight may be revived. We're thankful, Father, for the blessings that we have in this country and in our homes and in our church. And we pray, Father, that we might live our lives thankfully and joyfully for you, and that we might be your people in the community. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently recording services in accordance with provincial lockdown regulations. If you would like to contribute a scripture reading, prayer, or communion thoughts, please send a message through Facebook or an email to adam.sandiford@beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.